Perhaps you have heard me say in the past that numbers aren't everything for a church, that I think spiritual growth is far more important than just growing bigger. Well, I still believe that's true, but I also think it's very important for us to take a very realistic look at our numbers as well from time to time. And assuming that the growth of our spiritual strength is what it should be, then I believe it is also God's will that we should increase in numbers as well. In fact, it would be hard to say that any one of those things is more important than the other, because if you have one but not the other, then ultimately at some time, sooner or later, we're going to decline. Think about it. Even if the rate of births in a congregation like this equals, if the rate of birth were equal to the rate of deaths, and it rarely would be ever, but if it were, even then a new member is not gained every time, or is not gained at the instant that a baby is born into a family in this church. However, when a member of this church passes away, then our membership decreases by one instantly. The Redland Road congregation is not what some people would call a large church by any means, but neither is this a very small congregation. According to statistics that were published in 2009 about the Lord's Church, 15% of the congregations of the Lord's Church in the United States report their Sunday attendance at being less than 25. 15% of all of the congregations in the United States, 25 or less in attendance on Sunday. Now, it might come as a surprise to some of us that our membership here at Redland Road has actually declined in the last couple of years. If you were to make a list of all of the members who had moved away or left for one reason or the other, or had passed away in death, and then you were to compare it with a list of those who have obeyed the gospel and become members of the church, or those who are already members and have come from another place and placed their membership here, you'll find that the latter number is less than the former. We are declining in examination of raw numbers. Now, I don't believe that I could be called an alarmist, but I do think that it is my duty to point out facts like this whenever the time is appropriate, and it is my responsibility to remind us of how easy it will be for us to continue to decline and become smaller and smaller and smaller as time goes on. All we'd have to do to see the truth in that fact is to look around us at some congregations that most of us know or are very well familiar with, and we can see that their numbers have greatly declined in the last few years, and they are but a small token of what they used to be many years ago. It is a true fact today that if we're not careful, churches will decline in number. Is that important? Is that something that we need to be concerned about? I don't want that to happen to us here at Redland Road, because I believe we have the potential to be a growing and thriving congregation. But when that does happen, when a church gets smaller and smaller, it doesn't happen for no reason. And in order for a church to grow and become bigger and stronger, well, that doesn't happen by itself either. It takes a lot of hard work and involvement on the part of every single one of us. So this morning, I'd like for us to take a look at what I consider to be an important question, and that is, why do churches decline? What is it that makes churches get smaller and smaller and smaller, beyond the obvious reason that there are just not as many people here as there used to be? But before we look at the things that I've prepared to say on that, let's establish one thing that I think is absolutely fundamental. We don't want to just avoid a decline. We want to grow. We don't want to just stay level. We don't want to just get to a point and stay there and say, okay, we've made it to that magic number. Okay, we're at 200 or we're at 250 or 300. That's good enough. No, that's not what we want to do. We don't want to say, well, we've got to stop losing members. We got to, let's get it somewhere and let's hold it there. That's not what we're about. We want to grow. We want to become stronger spiritually. And we want as many people as possible to become a part of this church family. We want to increase in size for some very good reasons. Number one, just holding our own would never fit in with the pattern of zeal and enthusiasm that is the story of the New Testament church that we read in the book of Acts. You cannot study the story of the early church there in the New Testament and come away with the impression that those folks didn't have any zeal, they didn't have any enthusiasm, they weren't caring about growing and becoming stronger and larger. You don't get that impression. And so if we adopt that attitude, then we've departed from the example that we find there in the book of Acts. Second reason why we need to grow larger here in this church is the fact that we are still surrounded by people who need salvation. In this community, in this area, we're surrounded by people who need salvation, and the body of Christ is the only place they can get it. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's only in Jesus and in His body. There's a third reason why we need to grow. And I take this reason from the story of the one talent man that we read about in Matthew chapter 25 and the fact that he was condemned by his master because he brought no increase to his Lord. In fact, his master called him a wicked and lazy servant, because he didn't take what the Lord had blessed him with and use it to generate more. We can't afford not to grow and still be in harmony with what God's Word teaches. And so, on that basis, I'm going to recommend that we change the title of this lesson. And let's call it something like, what could possibly keep us from growing? What could possibly keep us from growing? Here, this congregation, this group of God's people, this church family, the Redland Road congregation, what could possibly keep us from growing and increasing and having a larger membership? You know, the reality is that we must grow. It is a matter that is far too important to neglect or to push aside and say, well, we'll get to that a little bit later. If we're not growing as a congregation of God's people, then we need to find out what's in the way of our growth. We need to figure out what it is that's keeping us from growing. And so, what could possibly keep us from growing as a church? Let me give you some very simple answers to that question. Number one, if we fail to teach the lost, it'll keep us from growing. There is a hard reality here with which we cannot argue. If we are not busy inviting people and having Bible studies and baptizing the lost into Christ, then our decline will be sure. Now, some churches can avoid this for a little while. In fact, we have seen some of the results here at Redland Road of being a new congregation in a growing community where people are moving into the community and looking for a church with which to worship that's closer to them than where they used to worship, maybe before they moved or came into this community. And, well, actually, that fact alone has accounted for a significant number of those who are now members of this congregation. And I'm thankful for that fact. I'm appreciative of every single person who is a member of this congregation for whatever reason it is that you've come to us. I'm glad you're part of us. But you know, the problem with that kind of growth is that the kingdom really isn't increasing. It's just that the sheep are being moved around. And so when we talk about the growth of the kingdom of God, and we're depending on people who are already members of the Lord's body but are worshiping somewhere else, and maybe they'll decide to come and worship with us, and so we're growing, well, we are in a sense, but in the sense that the kingdom of God needs to grow and grow and grow, we haven't grown. You see, we have a mission. And that mission was announced by the Lord as a part of His plan just before He went back to heaven after His death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. He announced it in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, for one place. He said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." It is the plan of God that the whole world have the gospel preached to them. In Matthew's account, he goes further, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, Jesus said, even to the end of the age. This plan was even prophesied in the Old Testament centuries before its implementation, and it was that which Charles read to us just a few minutes ago from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. Maybe you didn't recognize it as being a prophecy of the Great Commission. Listen to it again. "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, 'Give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done graciously. Let this be made known in all the earth.'" And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, we find the example of the early church doing just that. It says there in that passage, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, and the result was great multitudes were added to the Lord's body as a result of what the early church did in the book of Acts. If we're not doing that, sooner or later it'll catch up with us. We can only sustain ourselves with folks coming in from other places who are already members of the Lord's kingdom for just a limited period of time. And sooner or later, we'll begin to decline. Now, don't misunderstand me. It is a tremendous blessing from God when godly saints relocate from other places and find a home here at Redland Road. But we've also got to be very busy about the matter of adding to the kingdom by converting the lost souls around us. That kind of growth is the lifeblood of the Lord's church. And that kind of thinking, that kind of mentality must dominate our number one priority. Is to preach the gospel to those who are lost and bring them to Christ. We need to be talking about evangelism. We need to be looking forward to special events that will give us opportunities to bring people in and hear the gospel preached. We need to study it in classes and prepare ourselves to be better servants of God in the field of evangelism, to better equip ourselves to be able to talk to people about the Bible. I hear people say, "Well, I just don't know enough about the Bible to talk to anybody about it. I'm scared to talk to my friends at work, or I'm scared to mention it to my friends at school because they'll ask me a question I don't know the answer to." That's right, they will. They'd ask every one of us a question sooner or later we didn't know the answer to. But as long as you've got this book, your answer is, let's go to the Bible and see if we can find that answer. That's a good question. We must daily carry out this mission among those whom we know. We need to be talking openly about our faith and inviting others to come and see and experience what we're doing here at Redland Road. If we don't do these things, as we get older, we die. And some of us move away. This church is going to die if we don't teach the lost. Number two, we cannot grow if we're losing our children. We have all been familiar at some time or another with churches that are made up predominantly of just old folks. No disrespect intended there in that terminology, but you know what I'm saying. I could take you to one of several congregations, and you probably could too without my help, where the only body left is just a group of old folks that are there. No young people. It's in those situations that you'll often hear a comment something like this. "Well, you know, if we just had half of the young people who grew up here, why, this place would be full." That's pretty much the truth everywhere. And I'll admit it's easy for us who are older, whose children have already grown, to really remember how important it is to show some attention to these young people as they come up in the congregation. Because one day we'll look around and they'll be gone. And we'll say, "What happened to those kids?" Or, "Whatever happened to that family?" Or, "Where did they go?" Well, that's a good question. What has happened to those kids? What's happened to them? Certainly some of them went away to school and found a job in another place, and now they're married and raising families on their own and working over there, you know, and we see them a couple of times, two or three times a year when they come home for a visit. You know, they visit with us here at what used to be their home congregation, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's not a situation that we can say is bad or blame anybody for, because, you know, there are a lot of us who've done the same thing. This is not the congregation I grew up in. I left home and went to school and became associated with another congregation, and from there, you know, came to this congregation, and so I sure can't say anything about a kid who grows up and goes off to school and puts down roots somewhere else. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that's one of the facts. That's why we can't say that every kid who grows up in this congregation is going to be here forever, because the reality is most of them won't. But that doesn't explain all of the missing kids. In fact, statistics show that an average of 60%, percent of the young folks who grow up in a typical congregation of the Lord's church today will fall away and become unfaithful. 60%. You take that group and then factor in those who have gone off to school and moved away, and you'll see why many churches today are declining in number as their young people grow up. Now, you understand that none of these comments are intended to diminish the importance of our older folks. Churches like this one are tremendously blessed by the leadership and the wisdom and the stability of our seasoned servants. But we also understand that none of us is going to live forever here. One thing that gives a church like this great stability is the presence of dedicated families who serve God in a place like this generation after generation. We've got some families here at Redland Road right now who have three generations actively serving. And I believe that's one thing that's helped us to be what we are today. But when that's missing, and when we start losing 50 to 60% of our young people, in addition to those who move away, we can't grow enough to overcome that factor. So what do we need to do about this factor? Because this deal about losing our children is a big deal. Let me be specific. Number one, we need rock solid Bible classes that teach the truth and instill strong convictions into the hearts and the minds of our young people as they grow up in this congregation. And the greatest of greatest importance is whether they continue to grow up here as God's children, or whether they go off and move somewhere else, but that they will be faithful in God's service wherever they are. Now, those rock-solid Bible classes that I'm talking about, there are some requirements for that. You've got to have good material to teach them. Well, this is the best there is. But you know, it usually takes a little bit of assistance to go along with just the Bible. Oh no, not adding anything to it, but some good Bible class material that's directed toward teaching our children the truth of the Bible. That's important. It's important that we have good facilities. I can remember when I was a teenager, for a long time, the little church where my dad preached talked about building a new building. We'd grown to the point at which we needed that new building very badly because the teenage class met out under one of the big oak trees in the front yard of the church. Every Sunday morning, we could be seen walking out in single file carrying our little metal folding chair out there under the shade tree. There came a time with the changing of the season that it became rather uncomfortable, and we had to crowd into some other place. You know, we need good facilities, and we've got great facilities here. We're not lacking on that. Oh, that's right. It takes teachers, dedicated teachers who are willing to go into those classrooms with those kids and be instrumental in teaching and guiding and leading them, so that they develop that strong foundational understanding of the truth, the moral principles and values that we receive from God's Word. Then there are the outside events like devotionals, get-togethers and service projects and other such wholesome things that promote faithfulness to the group or to the body. things that strengthen the spiritual base of our young people by allowing them to draw encouragement from one another and to offer encouragement to one another. We've got a group going tonight to the youth devotional at Grady. Our number will be somewhat diminished because of our good number of teenagers that will be gone to that. But Lord willing, they'll be back. But that's just one of the things that are instrumental in helping our young folks to develop the kind of spiritual values that they really need. But now listen. While those things that I just listed are very important, good Bible classes, helping our kids discover how they can serve in the kingdom and developing their talents. And by the way, our Wednesday night Bible class with our young men is doing great things in that regard. And Danny and Paul are, well, you'll just really be amazed at what our young men are learning to be able to do. And I'll just be honest with you, some of them have surpassed some of their older folks. And you'll be seeing the fruits of that very soon. And I hope you parents are encouraging those young men at home in that regard. But that's what I started to say. Though these things are very important, the battle is really going to be won at home. You see, the church can't take the place of home. And the church would be hard-pressed to fulfill all of the responsibility that exists in teaching our children. It's our primary responsibility as parents and grandparents to raise our kids and our grandkids as people who know God and who value the importance of a strong relationship with Him. And their continued faithfulness will have a great impact on the future of this church, because if we lose our kids, this church will diminish. There's a third point in this discussion. I'm going to reserve it for tonight because we're just about out of time for this morning, but I will go ahead and give you a little preview right now. We will not be able to grow if there is among us a lack of unity. This is such a common thread that connects so many declining churches, the absence of unity. Simply put, churches that have problems getting along, churches where the members fuss and fight and bicker and divide, some of them get mad and leave, and the other ones stubbornly hold on to their bad attitudes and rejoice when those who have opposed them leave in frustration. I can think of very little that would distress our Heavenly Father any more than when His children declare war on one another. And it's usually over petty little matters of judgment that have very little consequence except for the disruption of the unity and the harmony that needs to exist in a congregation. These kind of things diminish the size of a church when many go away. But frequently, these kind of attitudes leave people bitter and hostile, discouraged and cynical, and a church just simply cannot thrive in that kind of an atmosphere. And so the absence of unity and harmony will keep us from growing. And rest assured, I don't believe that's a problem here at Redland Road. Well, except for maybe on the part of one or two old grouches now and then. But, you know, we've learned how to overlook you. In all seriousness, it's a problem we don't want. And so we'll talk about that some more tonight in detail. If you're not a member of the body of Christ now, there is nothing that's any more important that you need to do If you'll render your life in obedience to the will of Christ, and He stated clearly in His Word what He wants us to do. He wants us to believe in Him as God's Son. He wants us to repent and turn away from a life of sinfulness and embrace a life of serving Him. He wants us to acknowledge or confess Him as our Lord and Master and be willing to follow Him every step of the way, wherever the path leads. And He wants us to be baptized because the New Testament explains to us that it's in the matter of baptism that we come into contact with the forgiveness that is made possible only by His blood. As Saul was told to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, that's what we need to do. If you haven't done that, there's not a better time than right now. If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back and be restored and rededicate yourself to His service? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.